If you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46, that's the text that Sybil just brought us to and quoted and read to us this morning. Boy, it's been a crazy week. You guys realize that only 7 days ago, we were in here celebrating Easter. Over 1,200, almost 1,300 people gathered here and worshiped through our services the resurrected Jesus. And now, 1 week later, we're staring a typhoon right in the face. In fact, if I can just stop for a minute and ask, I don't know who names the storms, but I vote for somebody else. Anytime the storm starts with sin, Typhoon Sinlaku. I mean, I don't know. Does it take a pastor to point out that anytime we start it like that, that's not a good sign. That's just not great for us for sure. Actually, I heard after the first service that it might be a Crossrian name, which probably means something different. So I'm not trying to be offensive there. I just thought the sin part didn't feel so great to me. Well, we're all set to start a new series this morning out of 1 Corinthians 16. Really had that message bones in place, and actually the whole series, 4 weeks together. But as we came to the end of this week, I started feeling more and more that wasn't the right direction for us. And then yesterday, very, very clear that we needed to go in a different place this morning. So that's why. Excuse me, that's why we're in Psalm 46. If we can, this morning, I want to try to help you with some perspective. Hopefully, God's perspective on overcoming the storms in life and often the chaos that comes with it. So that's why we're here in this text. Some of you may know that Psalm 46 is the psalm that inspired Martin Luther to write his great anthem, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Nearly 500 years ago, he wrote that hymn. And really directly out of Psalm 46, talking about no matter what storms roll into our lives, what enemies attack, God desires to be our fortress. And a mighty fortress is our God. We'll maybe come back to that at the end. But Psalm 46 is the psalmist's description of a chaotic, complicated world. Let me give you a quick overview, and then we'll back up and walk through the verses, but with a little bit more detail. But verses 1 through 3 is the first section, and it's talking about natural catastrophes, if you'll just kind of skim along with me. Hurricanes and floods and earthquakes, all right? And the response of that is, I will not fear. That'll be point number one. And then in verses 4 through 9, we have a great conflict between the world and godly values. And the teaching then, right out of the middle of that text, is this, that I will not be moved. And then finally, the last two verses is the last little section, verses 10 and 11. It's almost in that part as if the psalmist stops, the writer stops, and he takes a deep breath. And he gets God's perspective of all of this, and he says, be still and know that I am God. And so we're going to say it this way, I will not stress out. All right, that'll be the third one. I will not stress out. David, the psalmist says, hey, guess what? God's still in control. No matter how stressed or how pressured I may feel, I need to just stop and take a breath because God is God. So here's the big idea this morning. I want you to leave with it kind of ringing in your ears and maybe ringing in your heart, that our safety is not found in escaping the storm, but in being held by the God who rules it. All right, let's just back up for a couple of minutes here. Three fundamental values or commitments that sustain and calm me in the chaos that is sometimes my life. Here they are. Number one, I will not fear, verses 1 through 3, because God is greater than any natural disasters. I think that's what we're going to see as we work through this. In fact, I know Sybil read it so eloquently for us, but I want to read it again as we walk through this, starting in verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Right? That's the main point. I will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, Selah is sort of a stop. Think about, go back and review what we just talked about. I read one commentary on this passage, and the headline was, God is in trouble. And the meaning was that whenever we're in trouble, God is with us, right? God is in trouble. A little boy who's praying one night, and his prayer was, God, please take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're in a world of trouble. I mean, that's kind of the idea. If you read verses 1 through 3, it almost sounds like our AP News, or maybe like your Twitter feed of recent years around our globe. It's all about trouble. Typhoons, you see these in the text, typhoons and earthquakes and volcanoes and tidal waves and floods. All of these things indicating the stuff that is a threat to our safety, a threat to our survival. And the psalmist says, in light of all of these things going around, filling, you know, my news feed, all the things that are happening in our world that have a tendency to cause me to be afraid, he says, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I will not give in to living my life in fear about what could happen to me or to my family. God is in control. You know, one of the great things that happens in our islands when these typhoons threaten is that that there really isn't any panic. Well, maybe a little bit of panic for a few people, but you know, we help them along. But you do notice that if you've been around, you know, any length of time, people that have lived here, they've been through the routine before. They do have a process, and of course, there is some things that we got to get done. But you don't have a sense typically. I mean, sometimes at the grocery store it feels a little crazy, I think, but or maybe the hardware store. But outside, you know, we really is a sense that, hey, here's the things that we need to do. It may come, it may not, but we're going to move forward and this is going to be okay. Actually, let me get this. Verses 1 through 3 are so loaded, and I'm going to do this really briefly this morning, but I want to tell you kind of the outline, walk through it. Can you make sure that you're reading this along as I tell you these things? Here's 3 points that come out of 1 through 3. Number 1, God is our refuge, not our escape. The first phrase, and the key word is refuge. It's the Hebrew word machsa, and it means a shelter, a place of protection in the middle of danger, not removal from it. When it says God is our refuge, it is not telling us that God is going to remove the storm. Maybe, but there's no promise in here. But what it does tell us is that in the middle of the storm, in the midst of the storm that is the current one that we're facing or the one that you have in your life, God is your refuge. He's in the middle of it. So God doesn't always take us out of the storm. That's important. But he always offers himself as a shelter within it. Right? Everybody with me? Say, uh-huh. Yeah, all right. Or amen. Whatever, you know, whatever your thing is. Number 2, God is present right here, right now. Phrase number 2 is, I love these words in the order that they are, is a very present help in trouble. I love that wording. A very present help. Actually, these 3 words in the Hebrew, the definition, I want you to catch this, is exceedingly available, fully accessible, right there when needed. And all God's people say, amen, right? He is not absent. He is a very present help, exceedingly available, fully accessible, right there when needed. He's not distant. He's not delayed. He's not on the way. You know, every once in a while, something happens to my wife, Faith, something's going on, and I'll get a phone call, or I'll get a text, and it says, hey, Gary, I need you now. And when that message comes, the response is, everybody tell me what the response is. I'm on my way, right? That's it. And it's good, right? That's a good response. Hey, Gary, I need you now. And my response is, I'm on my way. But you know, with God, he's not on the way. We don't have to call out, and that would be awesome if he says, hey, I'm on my way. That's not what it says. He is a very present help. He is a shelter in the storm. He is right there with us. He's present. You don't have to wait for God to show up after the storm. He's there in it. And then number three, number one, God is our refuge, not our escape. God is present right here, right now. And number three, God is greater than what feels unstable. Right, that's the verse 2, the second phrase. Look at it. Though the earth gives way, and though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. This is very extreme language. And the psalmist is saying, listen to closely to me here. Even if the most stable things in your life collapse, right, the ground beneath you shifts. And the things you thought were secure actually are not as secure as they thought that they were, and they start moving. Even in all those times, God is still steady. Just let that rest. I know that there's someone in here that needs to know this morning, that even if the most stable things in your life collapse, God is there. He's present. I've told a lot of people in counseling over the years about a study that was done at the University of Washington about human stress. I actually don't even have the documents anymore. I've talked about this so often. I mean, I just regularly give reference to this that I probably should go back and try to find the actual study. Secular study, it's not a... You know, it's no discussion of God's plan in bringing things into our lives. Romans 8:28. There's a biblical perspective of the stress in our lives. This is just kind of a secular study, but there's some helpful pieces in it. And I'll just tell you about it. The study says that stress is the result of life changes, and they rated stress in terms of LCUs, life change units. For instance, getting a divorce in this particular study was rated as 73 LCUs. Being pregnant was 40 LCUs. Some of you ladies might be like, I don't know. I might put that one up a little bit higher. Remodeling a home is 25 LCUs. Hosting a family reunion when nobody agrees on the pizza toppings. That's like 200, you know, actually that one's not in there, but all right, and there's a lot of others. When we learn of a friend that has cancer and children that grow up and move away, we sell our home and we move, we change jobs and we retire. These are all rated on, you know, in terms of LCUs, life change units. And the point of the study is this, that, you know, that if we experience a cumulative total of more than a certain amount in a given year. In fact, this study said more than 300 LCUs in a year's time. Most people won't be able to handle that. It's not that you're weak emotionally. It's just that, you know, so much stress at one time. It's just, our systems redline. We get to a point where we're revving too hard, too fast, emotionally, physically, and it's just for almost anybody. Now, it doesn't take into consideration that God gives us grace in these times and there's spiritual perspectives, all that. That's a whole nother story. I'm just saying that on the surface level, stress produces too much stress overwhelming us, you know, produces some overheating of our systems. If you want to hear about LCUs, Psalm 46 isn't written by David, but read David's story. You want to talk about life change units, overwhelming in his life. But listen, David and this psalmist and throughout the psalm, it comes back to this idea that they were not consumed with fear, though they may have every right to be. Instead, the testimony is this: I will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. He's not my escape. The storms may still come, and it's going to be okay. Why? Because God is present right here, right now. He's exceedingly available, fully accessible, right there when needed. And because God is greater than whatever in your life feels unstable. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm sure that there are some. And for you, fear is a very real part of your life. And it rears up its ugly head when the pressures mount. And when your LCUs, you know, start climbing. And I want you to know this morning that God wants to help you. And he does that in this text by helping us, encouraging us to take our eyes off the trouble and put them on the God who is our refuge, right? The God who is our refuge. Here's number two. The psalmist says, secondly, I will not be shaken. I'll not be overwhelmed because God is with me when conflict arises. Let me read verse 4, starting in verse 4. It says this: there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made on the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariots in the fire. Man, there's a lot of stuff in there, but if I can just kind of summarize it, condense it down to a edible portion for us this morning. Verse 4 through 9 have a background of a conflict theme. You see it, verse 6 and 9 particularly. Nations in an uproar, kingdoms falling. Again, great change taking place. But the point of these verses isn't really the changes. The point of these verses is the background. The point of these verses is the peace that is in the background through the incredible changes that are going on. And the whole reason for peace, there's a key word in the middle of this whole section. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it. It shows up at the end of verse 6, and it's the little word voice. You almost missed it, right? Here's why that little word is so important. Because in the Bible, God's voice represents his sovereign authority and his creative power. Man, remember this. The same voice that said in Genesis 1, let there be light. And there was light. Every part of that creation of Genesis 1 was given to us by the awesome, majestic voice of God. And that, my friends, is the same voice that the psalmist here says rules every storm. We don't know the direction that the storm coming towards us is heading. We get lots of projections. I'm really thankful for our really excellent, you know, weather services and, you know, professionals, and actually, you know, a whole bunch of amateurs actually doing a pretty good job of, you know, weather projecting. But we don't know. We don't know if it's going to get stronger the next day. We don't know if it's going to decrease. We don't know if it's going to, you know, head a little bit north, or it's going to sneak a little bit south. Here's what I know above all those. It is listening to the voice of God. He's in control of that. In the same way that his awesome voice created this whole world, he continues to govern the winds and the waves that oversee it. So here's what verse 6 says. It says, he utters his voice and the earth melts. How great is that? One word from God and everything changes. That storm that feels so big to you and to us, it's not big at all to him. He doesn't panic. He's not in scramble mode. He speaks. And all of the creation listens. I mentioned Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Psalm 46 is embedded throughout every stanza, but the end of stanza number 3, I don't know how familiar you are with this kind of ancient hymn of the faith, but the end of stanza number 3 is talking about the prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him. His rage we can't endure, for lo, his doom is sure. He's like, hey, no matter what the enemy is out there, we don't have to be afraid. And then the end of the stanza says, here's the reason we don't have to be afraid. One little word shall fell him. That comes directly out of what we're reading here in Psalm 146. We don't have to be afraid about the big bad enemy of this world. One little word will fell him. And then the next stanza, stanza number 4, says, that word above all earthly powers. That's the word of God. That's the voice of the Creator. And he's in charge. He's in control. You can trust him, and we can find refuge in him. So Christian, you may have walked in here this morning feeling overwhelmed for any number of reasons, very legitimate reasons. And I don't mean to oversimplify, but let me tell you why you're feeling overwhelmed. People feel overwhelmed when they've put their focus on things. Whether that's your to-do list. Hey, and believe me, I get it. This morning, I'm totally understanding. You got a to-do list running. I mean, you've been trying to put it on the back, you know, part of your mind, but it's running. I mean, virtually everybody in here, I'm tracking. I get it. We're trying to put it away and listen to God. Thank you for doing that. You're doing great at it. But that to-do list, right? It just keeps churning. It just can't stop thinking. And your problems and the big conflicts in your life and the relationships that feel so broken and wounded. I don't know what your storm is, but whatever it is, that just the details of that. And we just start thinking about these things, and the more that we think about them, the more overwhelmed we feel, and we can't stop thinking about them, even while we're here in church. And what needs to happen is that we have to take our focus off of all that stuff that's overwhelming us, and we get it back on God, who has promised that he would never bring anything into your life that he's not already prepared for you to handle. That's what the example tells us here. He looked around at all the stuff that could overwhelm him, and the psalmist places his focus firmly on God's presence, and he says, verse 5, I will not be moved. Man, I love that. I want that to be the story of my life. No matter what's going on in the shaking of my foundations, no matter what storm is raging around me, no matter what feels so confusing or overwhelming to me in this season of my life, God, if you'll help me, I want to plant my feet firmly in the refuge that you've provided, and I want to shout to the world that I will not be moved. If you help me, Father, I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be pushed off the foundation that you've given me. I will not be moved because of the shelter of the Most High. So here's the last little section. Verses 10 and 11, they tell us that I will not stress out because God is God and he'll be exalted in my life circumstances. I will not stress out. Or maybe I will not succumb to the insanity. Or I will be still. Listen to me this morning. God invites us to be still. And it's why this is so, so awesome that you're here today. Because in your presence, you have declared this. Praise God for you. You have declared it to all of your friends and these fellow kind of journeyers in that you've declared this, that I'm going to stop what's going on. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that I could be doing, all kinds of stuff that I could be thinking about. But because I know what's genuinely the most important, I'm going to stop all that and I'm going to slow down and I'm going to say, I will be still. It's the Hebrew word rapha. I love this definition. It means to let go, to release, to loosen your grip. You got a bunch of stuff that you're like trying to figure out how to get your grips on. How am I going to tackle this in the next day? How's all this going to come together? So this is so hard for us. But the command is, I will... God invites us to be still. Because what do we want to do? Well, we want to check the storm track again. In fact, some of you are, right now, or you're waiting till the end. And you're like, I got to see where that thing's going. I get it. It's okay. No guilt. I'm not sharing that. We want to rerun the scenarios. We want to try to control what we can't control. So here we have the psalmist just looking around at all this stuff that we've been talking about, all the chaos, all the insanity that's in his world, in his life. And then something happens. Can you see it right there at the end of verse 9? The narration changes from talking about God to God in the first person. Do you see that in verse 10? Now it's first person language. It's like God steps into the scene, and here's what God says in verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop for a minute. Cease what you're doing. Stop doing all those things that seem so important to you. You know, all that stuff in your life and that false narrative you've been telling yourself in the recent storms of your life that's kind of says, man, this is going to be a flop if I don't fit all this stuff in. So I just keep doing all this stuff and more and more and more and more and more thoughts. And the psalmist says, just stop and be still and take a deep breath and just let your mind meditate on the fact that I am God. Someone said that three words can summarize how most of us spend our lives: hurrying, worrying, and scurrying. Noise, hurry, and crowds. I think what the psalmist is saying here is that in the middle of it all, I have decided that I will no longer let my life be filled with stress and anxiety. In fact, I'm going to use these things to exalt God's name. So family, Typhoon Sinlaku is real. I don't know if it's going to hit us like a brick or if it's going to come in with a whimper or something in between, but it's coming. We're going to experience something in the next couple of days. But what I do know is that this storm is really just one of the storms in our lives. And preparation matters. Wisdom matters. We call each other to make wise choices. We call you to prepare well as you can for you know, the eventualities of what may or may not happen. We have to prepare. This is good and it's right. But hear me on this. Our peace is not in plywood. And it's not in storm shutters. And it's not in forecasts, even if they seem like they're getting better or they're getting worse. Our peace is in the unshakable character of God. So here's God's prescription for surviving Typhoon Sinlakut. Are you with me? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. You're never alone. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You have a place of safety. And it is in the God of Jacob. He's your refuge. So when the wind starts whipping and the rain starts raining, hey, remember that God is your refuge. Run to him. And God is present. You don't have to wait on him to come. And God is speaking, and his voice has authority. He won't let anything happen that he's not in control of. And that's the last thing, that God is in control. And you're not facing this storm alone. It may be that you came into this service feeling overwhelmed. I'm guessing there's a few of us. We were talking about not being moved, not being shaken. It may be that you've already been moved. You've already felt that shaking. This morning, I want to encourage you, if that's you, to run. Don't walk without delay. Run back to your refuge. Run back to ultimate safety. Run back to God. You know, one of the great things about having little kids and now for Faith in Me having grandkids, I know you guys, I keep saying this, but I know that you keep saying that Faith does not look old enough to have grandchildren. Thank you for saying that. That is so true. But we do. We have 5 grandkids. But one of the great things about kids and grandkids is that they make you feel tough. You know, whenever one of my kids, and now my grandkids, whenever they get afraid or jolted or startled, they dive for your legs, right? It's a natural response. You can probably see it out, you know, outside this morning. Some scary person comes up to say hi to a little kid. They like dive, you know, for their, I'd scary. I didn't mean scary. That was kind of sarcastic. But just somebody they don't know, right? They dive for their parents' legs. Why do they do that? Well, they do that because that's safety. They know it. It's security. I just want to tell you, if you are feeling a little jolted or surprised or overwhelmed, God says, run to the refuge. Dive into the legs of your Savior, the one who is stable and secure, and he'll reach down. The Bible talks about he covers us with his feathers, right? And under his wings we'll trust. So run to him. Run to him, even today. So maybe one of these commitments needs to be your prayer to God this morning. I will not stress out. God, if you'll help me, I will not fear. And I will not be overwhelmed. Not because I can figure it out on my own, but I'm going to put my eyes on the one who is in control and who is my refuge. I told you that Psalm 46 is the inspiration for Martin Luther's classic, iconic hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. This is a hymn that's been an anthem of refuge for the church now for generations. Dates of the writing of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is the late 1520s. It's not exactly sure, late 1520s, maybe early 1530s. What that means is 500 years. For 500 years, Christians, generation after generation, our brothers and sisters, our forefathers in the faith, for generations, 500 years, have kind of put refuge in and been encouraged in the storms of life by Martin Luther's song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And you know, sometimes I think, especially when everything's like a little bit topsy-turvy, sometimes I think it's really good for us to anchor to something that's been around. I've asked Dr. Yeo if he would sing for us, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, A Bulwark Never Failing. And as he does that, can I encourage you, we'll put the words up on the screens, can I encourage you to just rest your heart in this anthem of Psalm 46, this theology of who God is, of the fortress, the mighty fortress that he is for us in the storms of life. I'm going to have you stand, and would you worship together as Dr. Yeo leads us in this song?
Tremble not for him,
God's people said, amen. An anthem of hymn of generations of Christians going through the storms of life. We have a mighty fortress, and he's our God. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to close us in a prayer, time of prayer. But we never want to close the service here at Harvest without giving an opportunity for you to think and just consider your own heart, what God has spoken to you about. I wonder if there's some that God's talked with you this morning about your stresses, maybe some of the chaos of your life, and you know that you just need to get refocused. Can I encourage you not to just listen and assent, but would you talk with God about it? Just your own, you know, mental assent, that does a little bit. But if God has met with you, if he's teaching you this morning, then talk with him about it. Tell him what you've learned. Tell him what you want to change. Let me encourage you to do that. And there might be some here that would say, hey, Pastor Gary, I don't know for sure even about my relationship with God. I just don't know where it's at. You may or may not know me, but you might be saying, I just need someone that will pray for me. Just before if I pray, would there be anybody that would be willing to raise your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I'm not sure about my relationship with God. Would you pray for me? Just lift up your hand. I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you before you go. Father, you've been amazingly good to us today. Thank you for the beautiful privilege of being able to gather together here with our church family to truly be still and to know that you are God. And we're going to leave from this place, and there's a lot of activity that's going to take place. We have some preparation to happen. We got to watch what's going on, and all of this we put in your hands. We put in your care. We trust you. We affirm that. We say it corporately today. We trust you. At the same time, we pray for mercy, not just for us, but for our island friends in nearby places. But in all this, Father, we'd ask that you would be a place of refuge for us physically, but even more importantly, spiritually. I pray for those who've come in here and the storm impending is really just so small from the storm that's been going on in their life. God, would they know that you desire to be a place of refuge for them? And if they will be still, and if they'll know that you are God, that you will meet them and you'll help them. And it's your desire to walk with them and give them direction and peace to calm the chaos that overwhelms their soul. God, I pray that decisions of commitment to you, of choosing to follow you as disciples, would they be made today? And then, Father, would you allow our faith to grow through the circumstances that we have in front of us? Help us to be good testimonies of Jesus. Help us to be good neighbors. Care for our friends, our family, our villages. Lord, would your name truly be lifted up because of our response in light of this, storm in our lives. So thank you for each one that's here. We don't think anybody's here by accident. Would you encourage us as we go? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.